boys was going in was heated up. And it was heated up seven times hotter, one time seven times hotter than amen. They wanted to make sure. But there's one thing about it. The Lord could bring you out. As the song said, I know the Lord, amen, shall bring us out. Amen. He makes a way somehow. Well, help us here just a little bit. And so those Hebrew boys, you know the story. They were casted into this fire. Some of the mightiest men was watched over it. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. There is life lost in the fire. Amen. When those great buildings of New York came down, I stood, oh, it's been back in October, I stood at the memorial wall. And there was a man standing there, a little elder brother, a little elder man, not a brother, a little elder man. He was crying. I walked over and I said, sir, are there anything I could do for you? Amen. My heart was melting with him. He said, no, sir, there's nothing you could do. I said, are you all right? He said, amen. Good as expected. But he said, you see this boy right here? And he pointed to that memorial wall of all those firemen that lost their life when the Twin Towers went down. He said, this is my boy right here. And that little guy that we had, he said, that man is here every day that he's able to come, and he stands here and cries every day because there was somebody got lost in the fire. He was trying to do, I want to tell you, hey man, we're trying to help somebody out of the fire. We're trying to keep somebody's life from going down, and in the midst of that, there have been a lot of lives taken. There have been a lot of folks, amen. It's only memories now. And so when he told me that was his boy, amen, I began to weep with him and put my arm upon his shoulder. And I said, sir, I'm a preacher, and I'm going to be praying for you. He said, oh, I wish you would. And when we walked away from there, I can still see him standing. I can still see him. Hey man, this man a weeping and a crying because the fire and the disaster took. Hey man, a great firefighter down. I'm telling you, we are in the midst now of this great furnace. This furnace is heated up. Hey man, and our brethren is in there. And the Bible said, as the mighty men looked in, hey man, everything they had put them in. But all at once, when the king came back around, he said, oh king, didn't we put three men in there? Yes, but I see four and one walking around there like in the Son of God. I'm here to tell you, the enemy may heat the fire up, but my God can walk in the midst of the fire. Hey man, he's the fourth man. Oh yes, but you know, if somebody, hey man, chooses to go, there's a choice in this life. There's two things we have no choice with. I did not choose to be born. And I had, amen, I do not choose when I want to die. Amen. Oh, yes. Somebody said, what about the man that took his life? He chose to shoot himself. He chose to do this. No, he didn't. He is the servant of whom he served. You cannot serve two masters. Amen. You cannot live a half-weighted life. Amen. Go to church and smile and live in the world out there. You can't do it. You've got to separate yourself from this world. You've got to choose whom you're going to serve. It's going to be God or man. You're going to live for God or you'll live for the devil. Amen. Oh God, you're turning this thing. I feel it. You're going to, amen, be a children of God or children of the devil. First John said, you're going to walk right whether you walk contrary to the words of God. Amen. You'll talk right. You'll talk the evil way. Amen. You'll do things according to the word of God. Or you'll live amiss and die lost and go to a fire. That's heat. You talk about, amen, the furnace being heated up. You talk about, amen, what's about to take place here. And God brought them out, but there's one thing about it. Amen. You've got to live for God. Well, I feel something here, and it's a little different how I thought I was going to preach, but I feel this way. Times are running out. Amen. Oh, yes. Time is getting so short. My nephew laying there in the hospital. Amen. With trauma to his head, all in his head. Amen. And life's only hanging on by a machine right now, it looks like. Amen. But you know, my brother-in-law said, I remember when he was a boy. Amen. Life, they had a tragic. I mean, home was broke. Things was going different ways. As I said this morning, there's things in life. It's nothing but a destroyer. It caused hate. It caused misery. It caused envy. It caused strife. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, you can live any way you want to live, but there's one thing about it. You've got to live godly to get to heaven. Her sister said, as she looked at those pictures, say, I don't know them. I don't know her. Amen. By name, but by looks, I'm a different person now. Amen. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel this right here. Oh, yeah. See, my kid, this afternoon I got burdened. And I got looking at this. And God asked the Lord. And I got telling you. Amen. First of all, them men had to put faith in action. I believe God will bring us out. But if not, old King, nevertheless, there's something about this. I've got to get a hold of God. And God will bring us out. But if not, we'll be out of your hands, King. We won't have to worry about that no more. Amen. I want to tell you. Amen. Sin. Amen. It rocks folks' lives. Sin has been more destructive. Sin has been more of a pain. Sin has caused more misery. Sin separates children and mom and daddy. Sin has caused more heartaches. I mean, for the preacher, the pastor. Amen. He reaches out. Amen. And but sin has drawn them far away. Sin has made nothing but a heartache and misery. Sin changes the outlook. Help me, Lord. I'm just kind of going to go with how it's I'm feeling right now. Amen. Sin has caused the dress code to look different. Sin has made the church look dull when it's still alive. Sin has made the world look so enticing. And made the church look so, amen, non-inviting. Sin has made, amen, made the church. I want to tell you, the church is glorified. It's not glamour. Amen. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Sin calls you to go the opposite way than what you really know. Sin has got its own little GPS. Amen. It got people towards sin, but shows them a wrong detour. I have one in my vehicle, amen, or I got one, amen, and there's sometimes it takes you off a different route. It shows you a shortcut, amen, but I noticed it always brings you back to where you started on the same road. I want to tell you, a sin will show you a short way out. But it shows you a long way around. Oh, glory. A sin will cause you some of the most miserable heartaches. Amen. But it will not show you, amen, what's on the other side of the billboard. Help us, God. I feel this. Amen. Sin has caused more. And seem like I got away from the fire. But really, that's what I'm trying to seem like God's trying to tell in this service. I don't want to go to the fire. I don't even like to get close to the fire. Amen. I've had my hair on my hands sins by trying to burn something. Or I got so close. Oh, yes. The one time a can blew up. out of a garbage pail there. And I remember it blowed up and it burnt my eyelids, burnt the eyelashes, it singed my hair. Hey man, there's something about fire. Hey man, oh, I want to tell you. Hey man, fire melts some things. I want to tell you, my boy, right, he's got a business, and we help him occasionally. And Josh, my youngest son, him and Josh, they work together, and they transport bodies to get embalmed. They work at funeral homes, and I've only been a few times, and that's about only a few times I really like to go. How's it? But Josh, every once in a while, I say, come on, son, I'll ride with you. And he just goes and does it like it's no problem. But one afternoon, the funeral home called us. He said, I need you all to take this body to another place. And we never been there. He said, Dad, will you ride with me? I said, yeah, we got it, and we put it in the back of the van. Hey, man, there, and we took it over. Maybe it was, I forgot the name of it, over towards Portsmouth. And we pulled into this place and got within the front door, and the man said, oh, come around back. I thought, this don't look like an embalming place. But we backed around there. It was a cremation place. I felt so my insides kind of turn. I just don't believe in cremation. Hallelujah. I like the grave way. I like how Jesus did it. Amen. But anyway, I said, I'm here to help you. So we pulled this box out and they put it on this stretcher. So I stepped back and I said, we'll ask next time. But anyway, through it all, this man stood there, and I thought, why I'm here? Amen. I'm going to ask this man a few questions. I said, sir, I'm a preacher. And he said, my daddy is too. And I said, I don't see cremation. And he said, my daddy don't neither. He said, I'm not a church goer. And he said, I understand what you're saying. But he said, I said, sir, I've got to ask you a simple question. Amen. How hot does that furnace get? Amen. He said, would you like to see it? I said, long as ain't nobody in it, and it's just there, I'll go over there, I'll look at it. And so we walked over there. Brother Hammer, I looked at it. He said, that big burner up there, big burner. He said, it heats up to 1500 degrees. He said, that burner melts everything that's in there. That's on there. And he said, but then the heat turns up from the bottom. He said, it heats up to 3,000 degrees. He said, sometimes between an hour to 3 hours. He said, that body is cremated. It's already... you may not want to hear this, but there's one thing about it. Hey man, when he told me all of that, I said, do you mean? He went through all the other routines they go through. I walked over and got in the van. And I told Josh, I said, Josh, get me out of this place. I said, just to know that there's fire out there can melt the very skin off the bone. But then there's a place called hell that where you'll be there in agony. Hold on, Brother Aaron, God just seemed like flip this thing upside down right here. But I'm going to try to stay right with it. I want to tell you, we got in the vehicle, coming back home, me and Josh got talking about it. And all at once they had a little box thing. He said, would you take us back to the funeral home for me? So Josh got it and he handed it over to me. I said, I wonder what's in this box. And I said, I'm holding it. He got the papers. He looked at it. And he said, Dad, you are holding, amen, a little 2-week old baby in a box about this big, about that wide. It didn't take me 2 seconds to set that thing down there.
Amen. I set her down over here and I got thinking about all of that. That somebody had that little baby cremated. I mean, that's a cheap way out. But anyway, that ain't what I'm preaching about here. I'm preaching. Amen. Man could burn the very, amen, even though it's just an old body there, just an old corpse, and it just there. Ain't no life to it. But I'm talking about to a place called hell, amen, where the fire's not quenched. Nothing's gonna quench it. Nothing's gonna take the pain away. Nothing will take the agony. And be there in eternity, 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 over and ever and ever and ever. You talk about them boys being in the fiery furnace. Amen. I mean, we can find the, hallelujah, this cremation war. He wanted to burn them to the crisp. Amen. But God stepped in the middle of it and brought them out without a smell of smoke. That's what God wants to do to folks. He wants a wife. Brother Andy said it right, and I'm using him. When God saved you, he wiped it all away. He gave it up. That's what God will bring you out of the torments of the enemy. Amen. And he'll let you know that, amen, you'll not have a smell of sin on you no more. He'll wipe it away. But if you run from God, amen, it'll get to the point the preacher can't tell you, Lord, help me. Preacher can't talk to you. Mama can't talk to you. Daddy can't talk to you. Friends can't seem to help you. Amen. Oh, yeah. I know. I've raised three boys, and Josh just had a 17-year-old birthday. And God's called him into the ministry. But I told him, I said, son, there's one thing about it. You got to realize, no matter, amen, no matter that there's still a devil out there. I said, you got to protect yourself. You got to watch yourself. You got to listen. And I said, oh, yeah, the flesh will try to torment you. Amen. That's the devil's way of doing it. But I said, there's one thing about it. Amen. I told Matt when he told me, and we sat at the house, I said, Matt, you've been in this all your life. Amen. And you got your own home. You got your automobiles. Amen. You know, I said, you got more than me and your mother's got. We just rent. And I said, you bought it. You're paying for it. Amen. I said, you've got everything that, you know, a young man, his little wife would like to have. Amen. And God's called you to ministry. And I told his wife, I said, you got to be behind him. You got to stand behind him, even though you may not feel like you're capable of doing it, but you got to be there. Amen. But I said, through all of that, you too got to be very cautious now more than you ever did in your life. I will tell you, because there is a big, bad devil, and he's got a fire. Oh, Lord, help us, God. You might have wished I just went ahead and preached, amen, tears and joy again. But I really had something right, but it's going a little different. Why? Amen. Oh, yes. You know, as a preacher, I've got in some conversation with some folks. And I didn't budge or bow or bend. I just stood my ground. Because I seen if I even gave in just a little, it could cause somebody's life to be in danger. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Hey, man. I remember a boy, a young man, he talked to me about some problems and some issues that he had and some stress that he was under. And I tried to direct him. I said, you need to go to God and let God. But you know what? Right then, he wanted it. But when he walked out of that church house doors, I knowed he would walk away from it. And today, he's just in tragedy. Tragic is on him. I want to tell you, hallelujah. You know, I tell young folks and whosoever, playing church will only end up on the losing end. Amen. Just playing a game, amen, and the devil cheating on you, amen, you end up losing. Oh, yeah. You end up losing. Oh, yeah. That's like the game of Monopoly. Oh, one of the worst games. I mean, if you ever play, I just don't like it. I just don't like it. And I have played a few times. Usually I just throw the cards in, I just get out of it.
Amen. But I've set a table and watched my boys. They like to buy and sell, and then some of y'all's played it too, it looks like. Hallelujah. You look like it must have been on the same category I was on. But I've watched them back and forth. I don't know what in the world y'all doing. And I've seen them sit for hours and wouldn't give in to the next one. Finally said, forget it. You can have it all.
Hallelujah. Well, it wasn't a piece of that paper money. Wasn't the bank was bankrupt. Nothing was there. I said, give in, boys. Give in. I ain't doing it. Somebody, finally, you know, just a little game. Then it's all over with. Put everything up. It's over. But they take it so serious. Hallelujah. Because they get to the point, it gets inside of them, I don't want to lose. It's a game, boys, get in. I don't want to lose. Finally, somebody just gives up. That's what the devil does. He's in a game for your soul. And you said, I ain't going to lose. But finally, if you ain't very careful, he puts the pressure on you, throw in the towel, and you've lost all vanity. It's gone. You may be questioning this little message tonight, but please don't. Because, hey man, I had a heaviness hit me. I laid down just a little while, and I woke up, and I thought, I had to get myself together. I was in a dark room. Hallelujah. And so, after you focus your eyes a little bit, you can start seeing light come. Amen. Around, you can kind of see what's going on. And about the time, amen, Peggy Rich over, and somebody had called or something. She opened her cell phone up. It lit up the room. All it would take is a little light. That's where we are tonight. I believe there's a little light shining them. And it's trying to say, look, get out of that. Wait a minute. The darkness is out there. Amen. It's only going to cause you problems. He cut that up a whole time. I'm telling you, there is a fire. Oh, help us, God. Amen. Why, preacher? Amen. Rich man can tell you, we know it. Hallelujah. Others that's been in the flames. I thought me and Brother Aaron was talking about that tragic of New York and of those folks. They know they're going to die. They know it. How would you like to be in a position just as healthy, standing right here like I am, and knowing that this building's on fire, and it's a shaking and a crumbling, flames are all around you, and you're going to die. And they clamp hands and jump from that tall building. When I was in New York, we took a tour up to the Empire State Building. And I stood there on the 87th floor. And there is no way to look at that. I'd want to jump from 87 to 87th floor. Everything looked like a little bug down there. And I stood there. I looked around. And they told us where that great building one time stood. And it was taller than that. And I thought to myself, people went to their death. I don't know. Somebody said, well, they might have had a heart attack. I'm going to tell you, if they didn't, there's something they hit down there. Just stop thinking about jumping. I mean, they said probably they died before they ever hit the ground. But there's one thing about it. There's some of those folks was trying to get out, and everything fell on top of them. And the fire consumed. I heard maybe it was, I don't know if it wasn't the day, it was yesterday coming over here. Anyway, that they have stopped the search in Haiti. They've stopped the search. There's too much. Too much. And I heard a little bitty, amen, broadcast that Pat Robinson, you know, I'm far from, you know, what Pat Robinson, but he's probably did a lot of good things in his life with a lot of foreign things. Either way, but he told it, and I've already heard it, but he told it. Some years ago, the Haitians, when they were among they were among the prince of the air called the devil. And some of those men, even the president that day, sold out to all of that atmosphere of witch doctors and all of that. Pat Robinson said they sold out and said, this is it. We're looking for another power. Well, I want to tell you, hey man, those folks today feels like this great big earthquake is judgment on Haiti. And the possibility could be a shakening. It could be a wake up. Because there is good folks over there, I know for a fact. Well, preacher, what if that? Well, I'm going to tell you, folks. We're in the great United States of America. And you look around. It's what's happening. They're selling out to the atmosphere of the devil. More now, I'm in the atmosphere of the world. Thank God we still got somebody to hold it on. You say, no, preacher, it's not happening. It's happening more now than they ever did in their life. Hey, man, seeing on every hand. Not me, preacher, I won't tell you. Hey, man, if you're lukewarm, you're a candidate. You'll sell out. It'll happen. You can do it. You'll throw it in. Hallelujah. Amen. We sat in the living room, me and my boys, and they'll come over. I mean, they call. I mean, they've already called. How's service going? How's service going, Dad? And what happened? And, what's going on, Dad? They like to know. But I want to tell you, there's a bad devil out there. Oh, Lord, help us, God. I feel something right here. I really do. Amen. I don't know if I got it. Yeah, I do. I just want to read it. Put fire from it. I want to tell you what sin will do to you. Sin will rob your character. I know a young lady tonight that sin has made nothing but a wreck of her character. Total character is almost gone. It's just almost made a fool of her. That's what the devil likes to do. Sin will rob you of your respect. Oh, Lord, I'm trying. I'm trying, brother. I'm trying. I feel this. Sin will rob you of your respect. He don't care. He don't care one bit. Amen. Sin will rob a preacher. It's happened. Amen. Yes, God honored the cry of David. But David, amen, sin robbed you of your character. He said that sword will be over your door the rest of your life. And you read everywhere he went, it just haunted him. It haunted him. Can't get away from it. Sin will rob our children. I'm going to tell you, we're in an atmosphere. Amen. And while we're right here, amen, we're in the atmosphere that is so wicked that I would have never known it when I was a boy. I never heard no things like this. But I want to tell you, while we're here, there's 8 million abortion plus going on. Don't you think sin's getting wicked? And it's right here in the United States of America. 19 million alcoholics confess, hey man, they got a problem in our United States of America. 21 million, hey man, homosexuality confesses they have got the nature of this sickness going on them in the United States of America. Hallelujah. Amen. Over 10,000 crimes are committed daily in the United States of America. Plus, it could be more now than when this is given. 416 crimes an hour. Amen. Going on right while we're right here. Amen. Sin is burning and burning. To every marriage license, they say there's one divorce going on. So sin still goes on. Hallelujah. Could I tell you, amen, why would anybody want to throw the towel in for a little taste of this world? Amen. Because there's a devil out there and he's working beyond his overtime. If we hear, he's trying every way he can. Amen. Go to churches that had 50 young folks at one time. Now they just got a handful. I could take you churches that had youth choirs. Now they don't have no young people at all. Amen. But why? Sin wants them. Sin's a gullible. Amen. And what ain't being gullible, they're being a sidetrack somewhere else because it looks good. And it talks good. It sounds good. But they walk away from what God's given them. Amen. I'll tell you, you don't want to go to the fire. You don't want to. I feel like God's turned this thing right here for a reason tonight. I feel it with all my heart. I just feel a churning and a heartbeat inside. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, you don't want to go to hell. Well, who is my enemy? Sin is your public enemy number one. And it don't care. It don't care whose children. It don't care. I'm going to tell you. Hey, man, me and my wife has weeped some really hard, bitter tears in our life because of sin. Hey, man. And my children's been raised in church, but they ain't been, hey, man, angels all their life. You know what I'm saying? There's one thing about it. Sin does not care. You can give them all you want, and still sin make them feel like they need more. You can buy them the finest, but sin makes them feel like they want to still get, hey man, just a little bit better. I feel this. Hey man. Sin don't care. Hallelujah. I said last night, hey man, I mean my first automobile was a 64 Chevy hardtop four door. I wish I had it back now. I bought it for $75. And before I could go get it the next day, somebody busted the side windows out of it sitting in the alley. Not only mine, there's all kinds of cars. I put plastic over the windows and drove it because that's all I had. I mean, now, if it ain't the luxuries of the luxuries, it ain't good. Huh? Because of the nature of sin. It's good. It's good. Hey. I mean, let me tell you, when Tommy Hilfiger come through the country, I mean, seemed like Holiness Church has grabbed it. I know what. I mean, every time you go in, the whole youth go out. I mean, they come in big baggy breeches, big old coat, Tommy all over across the front of it. I mean, they ate it up. Whoa, help me, Lord God. Amen. And I preached against it. Oh, glory, hallelujah. And had an article showing, they asked him, hey man, are you on the other side of the fence? And he would not tell them yes or no. Oh, help us, God. But now old Tommy's just about dead and gone. Thank God. Styles went out. Hey man. Oh, glory. And he faded out and faded to the other side. But then the Styles come in. They got to have it. They got to have it. Hey, man, me and my little friend right there talking about, hey, man, them old baggy britches last night. He got telling me about something about baggy britches, boom, 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 baggy britches. Everyone, what? Hey, man, or how it went. That's the way the world looks at it. That's the way it is. Oh, help us, God. Sin is an enemy. And sin does not care. He don't care. I was preaching that. I had some men tell me, said, you are totally crazy. There ain't nothing wrong with that. I said, let me tell you. The nature of them, that material is just material. But I said, there's a spirit behind that. And it changes. And it makes folks feel, hey, man, the spirit runs wild. I said, give it time. You'll find out. Hallelujah. And we, oh yeah. I know a church tonight, it got so wrapped up in the forms and the fashions. Hey man, and the pastor I talked, we got talking about it. He said, Brother Kirk, I preach again, but it just ain't helping. They still do it. That is nothing but a rebellious spirit. And it'll get on some of the best. Amen. I remember my boy, and I ain't gonna preach much longer. Hey, it happens. I faced it. I battled it too at my house. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. I mean, when the hairstyles come out, they want to try it. And I said, no, you ain't going to be a grease monkey. You ain't doing it. Oh, glory, hallelujah. That's my house. Amen. Amen. I mean, when the style come out and the sideburns got way down here, I said, no, put them back up or where they need to be. Amen. I mean, oh, Lord, help me, God. Oh, glory. When I wanted to run around with the shirt unbuttoned, I said, no, you ain't doing that neither. Well, they're doing it. I don't care what they do. You're buttoning up, boy. Hallelujah. Tighten your belt up. Amen. Pull the brakes up right where they need to be. And if that don't help, I got a big, probably 40 at the time. It'd be bigger now. Hallelujah. That can take care of that. And you can wear it if you want it. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. Hey, but what I'm saying, I'm trying my, amen, to keep them from dying and get a hold of something to go to hell. Because it turns into a spirit then. And the spirit turns in possessive. And that possessive brings in more evil spirits and more devils. And for long you become possessed with devils. Amen. And gets out of control. And you're not your own. Well, it's a little different, but I'm feeling pretty good. Hallelujah. Why? Amen. Because we're trying to prevent this world of dying someone and going to the fire. Amen. Going to the fire. You need to realize there is a fire, and it's called hell fire. The lake of fire. I'm telling you, there's hell. And you could go right down this road right here and be just drive out of here as I've been to church and not have God and be lost. And lost forever. Lost forever. You know, I told you about my brother, and through all of that, I hope he made it right. I hope he did. My mother feels with her prayers, she feels like my confidence, and all she feels like somewhere he made it right. I never take that away from my mother. I never would. But only God will know in the hands of a just God if he made it or not. This past week, I'm going to tell you what sin will do. My wife had to walk in the funeral home of a man, her dad, 20-some years ago, told her, don't ever come around me at all. That said, I can say this now, and it's all over with, that he told her, said, if you come to my funeral, I'll have the police to escort you out of there. All because we stood against sin. Sin. Stood against sin. She had to call and find out, was it all right that she could come to that funeral? I said, it's your dad. If you want to go, we'll go. If they escort us away, we'll get escorted away in a polite way. That's how I felt. But she said, no. And the man that her dad left with after 33 years, that's what sin will do, after 33 years being with her mother, left for somebody else. He quoted some words that, you know, he told some of them later, if I had things to do over, I'd have did it different. But that afternoon, and all during those 20-some years, she sent him birthday cards. She sent him Christmas gifts. She sent just a little, I love you card, you know. But he never one time, through all of that time, never returned anything back. He just made comments. I don't want you around. Usually if you're trying to do right, sin don't want you around. He don't want you around and it hurts. I'm telling you what sin will do. Sin will separate you from the ones that loves you the most. Children get separated from mom and daddy. And if mom and daddy wasn't there, you wouldn't be here neither. Whoa, I feel something to charge. And Sister Mag, we walked in that funeral home and stood at the back door. My boys, a lot of folks come. There's other church folks from other places that hear about it, they came. And I told Mag, I said, if you want to go up there, she said, not now. Not now. She'd only seen her dad probably no more than five times in 20-some years. He never come around where he's at. Didn't want to have nothing to do with her. Called her a hypocrite. Called her a liar. Just because we stood against sin and for the right. She said, Dad, if you don't want me around, that's not going to change my thoughts. But, Dad, I don't want you to die lost and go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell, Dad. I don't want you to go to hell. Finally, the time come. She wasn't just alone herself. She's got four other sisters. And there was a lot of problems there, even with them. Did you know I love this man? You know, he was my father-in-law. Before all this took, we went fishing. We'd sit and talk. He'd go to church with me. But all it took was sin to get involved with a weakness inside of him and took him over. But they found him sleeping in the bed, gone. Finally, that time come. We walked up that aisle. And my wife walked among her and her sisters all stood there. I felt like they really didn't have a dad. He was just another man that called herself. That was the one that brought him to help bring in Miss Worth. That was about how they all felt. We got back in and I said something to Peggy. I said, are you all right? And she said, I'm all right. We got home. It's just been her and Josh. I said, are you all right? I'm all right. But time, finally it broke. She said, I just hope my daddy went to heaven. I just hope he made it right. I hope he made it right with God. I hope he made it right with God. I want to tell you, if there's any doubt, you know, I'll tell you. There's times I've had to set my boys down and tell them, boys, let me tell you. If God took you out for the spirit that's trying to get on you, and I know that this devil's trying to, I said, don't leave no doubt in my mind. Don't do it. Don't leave a doubt in mom and daddy's mind. Or the preacher, or the kin folks that, I just don't know if I'm ready to go or not. I think I'm trying, but I'm looking a different route. I want to tell you. I went to Walmart and got her a card. And it wrote on it, you don't have to walk alone. Amen. Bought her some roses. Brought them in. She said, you all right? You sick or something? No. I'm just trying to help you with this pain that's inside that you date, you hold it. I want to tell you, we carry a smile sometimes, but inside we're hurting. I see my mother carry a smile, but inside she's hurting because she knows some of her children, if they die, they're going to hell. They're going to hell. Amen. I don't want nobody to go to hell. I don't want nobody to go to hell. I don't want you to feel the fire. I feel like God turned this, and I hope. I don't know, hope it. I know I felt like God did. I just felt the wheels start turning right here. They come and give us a song. And we're going to make this altar call. Preacher, everybody's saved tonight. Praise God. Maybe God's just trying to tell us all, just inspect our life out, make sure everything's fine. But I feel like God's speaking in this service. But Randy said it right. It was a purpose you said that. I didn't go back to that camp again. I just left them things there. I had to leave friends. That I think you said that you've been, I mean, when you're with somebody 5 years old and on up, I mean, there's a closeness there. It's like, it's probably more close than a brother because you've been there. But he said, I had to walk away from them. I had to get away from them. Hey, he said, I had to leave that old camp. I remember that, brother. Every time I preach, I'll tell him about it. And I'll preach about you many times anyway. But I tell you, when you least expect, there's always somebody out there trying to help you. And my wife was going through a little trial, and we was, you know, we all battle things. One day a letter come in the mail. We went in the little office there, and Peggy opened it up. I come in. She said, come in here. She got it out, and I seen who it's from. All at once, we got reading that letter. And we got crying. And we got just me and her. And every once in a while, sister, I'll pull that little letter back out again. And I'll read it again. I said, thank you, Lord. I have helped somebody. If I didn't feel like I was helping nobody. That's the way I feel tonight, Lord. I'm not much, but I'm trying to help somebody. Preacher, I'm just getting a little cold. I feel like God's speaking now to somebody in this service. Preacher, not me. Well, praise God. Well, preacher, take heed to it and just let God help you. But I will tell you, there is an atmosphere out there. And I feel like it's come to that point right now. I make my own decisions. But one bad decision can cause tragedy. I've seen my boys, and not all of them, but they made some decisions in their life. Right out of an evangelistic home, out into the world. And they'll sit and tell you, my oldest boy will sit and tell me with tears, Dad, I wish I'd have made some better decisions. I wish I'd have listened. I said, son, we can't go back and redo them. And we don't want to. That's behind us. But we can take it right now and go forward with it. Hallelujah. When they have a problem, they'll call. Mom, Dad, will y'all pray? I tell them, won't y'all pray? Well, your prayer will get through. Your prayer will get through. I understand what they're saying. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, Benny said, Judy, I remember when your girl cried. I didn't understand. But then when I see her out, her and her husband, in a meeting somewhere, usually if I'm close, I just look for them to be there. I just know they're going to be there. If nobody else is going to be there. And nobody else says amen, they will. Amen. And they always tell me, boy, I just love your preaching. Thank you, sister. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And always just encourage you. But we can see. I want to tell you, somebody always comes by to help. And that's God. Could we stand? I feel like God sending this little revival. I was so excited when they called me. Because I've been wanting to come in. But I feel in this service right here, the opportunity could come to an end. But I'd like to see God help folks. Ain't you glad God's still helping? He's still helping. You feel the Lord speaking to you or talking to you or helping you in any way, we find some place and pray and ask God to touch and move. And it might just be a little wake up to tell me, thank you, Lord. I want to go to heaven. Let's find some place and pray. Young folks alike, there is. The Lord would like to help you. The Lord would like to help you. Come and pray. That's it. Let's talk to Jesus. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. I just love folks. I just appreciate it. The Lord like to help you.
All right. Somebody want to testify here tonight now. Praise God. Wonderful altar call tonight. Good spirit here. Praise God. Somebody feel like praising the Lord tonight. Glory to God. Oh, yes. Praise God. Like to see us have a good revival break out, wouldn't you? Praise God. Anybody here tonight? All right.